Scrub is a guy that thinks he's fly and is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his broke ass.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Brad Keltner and Kevin Dunn. And I usually can pick up the theme that BK's throwing out with his musical choices. And I gotta tell you, today I have no idea what the hell the theme is.
I'm going 90s, baby.
Oh, it's 90s?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm not entirely sure why.
All right. Yeah.
Maybe the worst decade for music ever. But we're going 90s.
Okay. Let me think.
I'm trying to, you know, what about the 40s?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on the 90s thing. The only reason I disagree with you is because 90s is basically when you get gangster rap, and hip hop is one of the most influential genres in hip hop. And that's Pac. That's Big. Yeah. That's a golden era of hip hop. So I'm going to disagree with you on that just because of that. But it's a valid. You make a good point.
Yeah, you make a good point with some stuff, but Rod's right about that.
I was more focused on like pop music and what was really hitting the radio airwaves for the most part.
Yeah, it was pretty trashy.
90s was not great, man. I'm not a huge grunge rock guy either, and obviously that's when it took off too. So.
Okay.
Do you remember the Retaliation song to this? Which was...
That was a Retaliation song?
It's fantastic. Go listen to it unedited.
Oh, I remember this.
Sporty Thieves, No Pigeons.
Yeah, I remember this. And that was...
BK, go listen to it.
I
think it's pretty funny because I think both songs are ridiculous and like too many things are divisive. And this is truly binary. I'm sorry, there's more than two sexes. I'm wrong about it.
No, I remember the song. And it was almost like a real weird Al Yankovic vibe to it. You know what I mean?
That's very true.
Where you kind of mock the song, but
very true.
Anyway, all right, let's get to somebody else. Speaking of people who get mocked all the time, weird Al Yankovic style, Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones has resurfaced. I don't know where Jerry Jones was for 100. I think it was like 109 something days or something like that.
109 days.
He's been just MIA, just gone. Like out on his yacht, kicking it around the world. Nobody knows where Jerry Jones is. And there's speculation that he must have either gotten surgery. He was just trying to avoid the COVID altogether so he could do that by sailing around the world.
I think it's that.
You know what
so
I mean?
Think so about it. If you had that yacht and that money.
I would do that all the time.
Well, especially if you thought, okay, if all of us said, I can get away, don't have to work, and I can truly isolate myself and do it in style and travel the world, that's an easy one, right?
That's easy.
Yeah, it's just so weird that he didn't tell people that he was doing it. Like, maybe the three of us would isolate ourselves.
Someone whose mother was trying to get in touch with him.
Exactly. Maybe the three of us would isolate ourselves, travel around the world, and kind of go off the grid for a little bit and be okay with it. Jerry Jones ain't that type of guy. Jerry Jones, you figured whatever he's doing, even if he was trying to avoid COVID, he'd be letting you know. He'd be checking in from wherever the hell he was on his Bravo Eugenia. He'd be letting you know anywhere he was, and to not hear from him for 109 days when so much has been going on over the last 109 days in the world of football and beyond, it's absolutely bizarre, man.
Yeah.
We need a Mythbusters episode about where the hell Jerry Jones has been for the last four
months. No, I'm with you. Something happened. I don't know what it was. It could just been, hey, man, the world's going crazy right now. I'm going to go on my yacht and sail for 3 months. And you know what? He's got the money, the FU money to do it.
About to say, he's got FU money.
Tons of
serious FU money.
You think he gets to drive that yacht ever?
Whenever he wants to. They let him think that.
Right.
Like a toy steering wheel.
That's exactly what I'm picturing. Turn on the automated steering, please. Automated steering.
They give a little captain's hat.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They probably so got cute. A guy like down in the lower decks that can drive it too.
Really drive it.
Yeah, so they're like, oh yeah, Jerry, go do what you want to do. He's like,
Do you remember getting your driver's permit whenever you're driving with the instructor? And I don't know if they had this for y'all, but for us, on the passenger seat, they had brakes.
They could
somehow
stop
put in there.
They wanted to.
And of course, I had some guy who was Benny Brakey and just was braking all the time.
Riding on the brakes.
And
all
I'm
the
looking
time.
At him and thinking, man.
Dude, that's a traffic hazard. Yeah,
right.
You're a safety hazard on your brakes all the time.
We become an issue. Because of you, yeah. I better not get penalized for this.
I'm going 41 on a 40, guy. We don't need to slam right. on the brakes right now.
Oh, 41 on a 40 for them was reckless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
But over the speed limit, you can fail your test or get points deducted.
Well, actually, sir, technically within 7 miles per hour, they say, okay, just that's enough. Just go 39.
All right, guys, we've got some audio from Jerry Jones.
Oh, this is great.
From his press conference. It was a 3-man press conference. We've got some Stephen Jones audio we'll hit at the end of the segment that more closely addresses the Dallas Cowboys roster and what they're going to have on the field in 2020. Plenty of Cowboys audio. We'll play some of it tomorrow. We'll have some Dak stuff. We'll have some Mike McCarthy stuff to get to. But two big storylines surrounding the world of the NFL have been, number one, the national anthem protest, the civil unrest in our country, and what the NFL is going to do to address the national anthem. Obviously, this was a huge issue with Colin Kaepernick a few years ago, and we all remember the incident or the situation with the Dallas Cowboys where before a nationally televised Sunday night game, Cowboys players, coaches, and Jerry Jones all took a knee in solidarity before the national anthem, right? They linked arms on the field, but then they stood up on the sideline, hand over their hearts for the national anthem itself. Jerry Jones has always had the mindset of, well, if you don't stand for the national anthem, then you're not going to be a member of this football team. Obviously, things have changed, and the national anthem has resurfaced as a very popular topic of conversation around the sports world. So, needless to say, the first question that Jerry Jones was asked yesterday was about his national anthem policy for the Cowboys in 2020.
We're going to have grace when we sit here and look at how we're going to handle it. I haven't met to the detail and in-depth with our players that I want to. I have talked to literally double handfuls of very, very engaged people. I have had input from ex-presidents. I've had input from presidents. I've had input from a cross-section of our players, former players, and I will continue to have input. This is a very serious matter. We've asked for the platform. As I mentioned earlier, we have the platform. We're going to show grace. I'm going to show grace, and I'd like to show that kind of grace in a sensitive matter that comes up. Everybody's genuine here. I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt relative to any decision that I make. Clarence, as you know, I have one thing. My job is to run the Dallas Cowboys. My job is to do what's right. We've asked for all of this interest, and we've asked for our players to give everything they've got. And I want to sit down when I have an issue and I have a decision to make. I want to show the world that I can do it with grace and come up with the right solution. I don't know what we're going to be faced with here a month from now or 2 months from now. When it happens, I'm giving you the backdrop of how I make the decision at the time or encourage our players. Our players have always been open ear for anything that I have to offer, and I've been open ear for what they have to offer, and that's what we'll do.
There is 100 seconds of Jerry Jones saying absolutely nothing right there, gentlemen.
He did say something.
Basically, he said grace.
He said grace a lot.
Grace.
Basically saying we're going to wait. We haven't decided what our policy is going to be for the national anthem this year. Man, this dude should have ran for president with his ability to just talk in circles and talk for a long time without saying anything.
He wouldn't have made as much money, though.
That's true.
Oh, no.
That's true. I don't think he regrets not running for president. I think he's doing okay for himself, but... guys, what do you make of Jerry Jones' sort of lack of official comment when it comes to the Cowboys' national anthem policy?
I mean, that he's open-minded to maybe trying to make this thing come together. He wants it to go off gracefully, let's say it that way. But the only thing is that the two graces that I really think of, obviously Mark Grace because I'm a Cubs fan, but outside of that, Elaine, when she said, oh, I have grace, remember?
Yep.
Whenever she's at the lunch meeting.
Oh, we've got that audio.
I know we do. And then also one that I thought of late was one of my favorite movies. And that's Christmas Vacation. And the dude with the toupee, the uncle, and his wife who brought the cat. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When he goes, Grace? That's all I got. So I'm going to be honest about
it.
I've never seen Christmas Vacation.
I could tell with that.
Well, I was too offended they didn't call it Holiday Vacation.
Oh, God. You got to see this.
Don't call it Christmas Break.
Rod,
it's Winter Break.
He's got to see
it,
right?
He's seen it
before. Rod, he's got to see it.
I don't think I have.
Well, I'll watch a Hanukkah
movie.
It
comes on every...
I bought the Sandler CD.
Which one? Oh, his actual CD with the Hanukkah songs and everything on there?
Oh, that's terrible.
Respect, man. Appreciate that.
Oh, no. I know. Even though I celebrate Christmas, I'm okay with that.
Appreciate that.
You think it was bad?
Oh, I'm sure it was bad.
You're anti-Semitic. How dare you?
Oh, man, the Hanukkah songs?
Anti-Semitic.
That is anti-Semitic. Those are synonyms. Go to thesaurus.com and you'll find them together.
I love Seinfeld. There you go.
Touche.
There you go.
So, he loves Larry David.
Loves Larry David. There you go.
So let's play that cut that KD alluded to. One of y'all, Robbie, was it you who sent the text chain?
I was laughing.
Hearing Jerry Jones say grace 200 times, Rod B was reminded of this, and I think we all were after hearing Jerry.
She had such grace.
Yes.
Grace. Not many people have grace.
Well, you know, grace is a tough one. I like to think I have a little grace, not as much as Jackie.
You can't have a little grace. You either have grace or you don't.
Okay, fine. I have no grace.
And you can't acquire grace.
Well, I have no intention of getting grace.
Grace isn't something you can pick up at the market.
All right, look, I don't have grace. I don't want grace. I don't even say grace, okay? Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, right.
I don't even say grace.
What do you guys think? Does Jerry Jones have grace? Because you can't have a little bit. You either have to have grace. You don't have grace.
Well, according to that woman.
You can buy grace.
Yeah, you can. Rod, well put.
Yeah.
And that woman's everything I hate about the elite world, especially in New York City. So.
Grace.
So I'm not going to listen to her.
But keep this in mind. Character. In D-Town Frisco yesterday, the FC Dallas in Nashville, SC, Nashville, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Nashville.
Because I don't watch a lot of soccer, so I apologize.
That's okay.
I guess they had a demonstration where they kneeled, and I don't even think it was during the national anthem. It was just before the game because they didn't play the national anthem.
It was during the national
anthem. It was during the national anthem?
So there were some players on FC Dallas who were trying to advocate against playing the national anthem while the players were on the field, right?
Okay.
Either doing it while they were in the locker room or maybe not playing the national anthem at all, but MLS and the two teams decided to play the national anthem while the players were on the field before the game.
And they got booed.
And some fans booed.
And it wasn't the players' fault. The players actually wanted to...
The players, the coaches, the refs, everybody kind of kneeled in solidarity together. And some of the fans up in Frisco booed.
That's what Jerry's worried about, same point.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens at a soccer game. That could easily happen at a Cowboys game. There won't be a lot of fans there, but if any fans do it, then it'll be a story. Jerry didn't want that kind of story.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's also why I think he's kind of been sitting this out. I think some of it's COVID, but there's a lot of stuff going on. And even though he loves to talk, he's smart.
Yeah. He's trying to appeal to both sides of this debate, right? He's a businessman, and he wants to make sure his business, which is owning the Dallas Cowboys, does not get impacted one way or the other. I am very curious to see what the Dallas Cowboys do, though. I mean, it's going to be really weird if the other 31 teams across the NFL during week one is taking a knee for the national anthem. The Dallas Cowboys are doing their own bit. Maybe it is something similar to what they did a couple of years ago where they kind of try to play both sides in the moment. But if every other team, and we've already heard general managers, owners, coaches, hell, Bill O'Brien talked about it himself. Yeah. We've heard a ton of other important people across the National Football League hint towards kneeling.
Well, Roger Goodell's probably going to kneel.
During the national anthem. I mean, Roger Goodell's going to kneel too.
He's going to be there.
If Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys don't do that, that's going to be a way bigger story than a couple of people booing at AT&T Stadium for the first Cowboys home game.
Yeah, and then you don't want to lose guys in the locker room
who
feel really passionate about it too. It's interesting. You should just be able to allow guys that want to kneel to kneel because Jerry Jones made it such an emphatic hardline stance prior to this transformation that we've gone through socially, he said you can do. Now, I think he's admitting, and he didn't say it there flat out, but he's admitting, hey, I might have changed my mind about this too. You know what I mean? 4 years ago, I felt a different way about it, and now I may feel a different way. He's leaving himself open, he's like a politician would, to say that, hey, I changed my mind about it, much like Roger Goodell openly just flat out said I was wrong about the way I approached the Colin Kaepernick thing, and I was wrong about the stance that people should not protest during the national anthem. So I'm with you, BK. I don't know what he's going to do that's different than what he did last time, because that was supposed to be his great compromise, and he thought it would work, and it didn't, because America was just mad and wanted to be mad at everybody anyway. And then Jerry was like, "Oh, they won't be mad at me because I'm helping out both sides. I'm being respectful to both sides," and both sides lashed out at him.
Yeah.
So there was no winning really in that situation. I think for Jerry, it'd probably be best if he just said, "Hey, man, I don't do it, but I respect it. You know what I mean? And of course, the cause. I'm down with the cause. No doubt about it. You know, social injustice, racial injustice needs to be eradicated. But I stand for the national anthem. But it's all good. If my players want to do what they want to do, they, of course, they're well within their rights to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand by them, and I stand by their right to do so. And something along those lines.
And I'm going to give Jerry the benefit of the doubt here. He's a smart guy, and I think that there's more layers to this. So I could piss off both sides right now and tell you that Black Lives Matter, when I hear that phrase and that motto, absolutely I'm behind that. And even outside of All Lives Matter, which I agree with too. No, Black Lives Matter, and there's a reason why that's been a focus. I can also tell you the organization, I don't agree with at all, and I think it's been hijacked. Well, that's going to piss off another side, and so maybe that's where Jerry's coming from a little bit.
Yeah, I think Jerry Jones is smart enough to support his players, and yeah. I think the Cowboys, maybe it won't be fully in solidarity where Jerry and the coaches and every player are going to be kneeling together, but I think he's going to allow, for the first time in the history of the Cowboys franchise, he's going to allow his players to take a knee. We've used the phrase soften the blow a little bit this week. I think Jerry Jones is kind of trying to do that. Like, he doesn't want to make it a story before it becomes a story.
Yeah,
you know, because the first time it does happen, week one in L.A. or the first Cowboys home game week two, it's going to become a story. If he can wait and not make it a story a month before that happens, I think he's going to try to avoid all the unnecessary headlines and the potential controversy and backlash from that.
Yeah, because it won't be a big story week one of the NFL, because
everybody's going to be doing it. Exactly.
So it won't be a big story.
It won't be the Cowboys, oh, Jerry Jones did this. No, everybody did it. So.
They'll be playing the Negro National Anthem. For week one reportedly. So if they're going to play the Black National Anthem, then
it's a great song. I went through the lyrics, man.
It is it's a beautiful song. I don't even know how they're going to do it, but if they're going to do that, then kneeling, you know, shouldn't be that big a deal.
Yeah. So one more audio cut, and you guys alluded to it. Fans in the stands. We know right now the state of Texas mandate from Governor Abbott is 50% capacity, max 50% capacity for fans in the stands. But the four Big 12 colleges in the state have all said 25% is the goal. Jerry Jones was asked about, do you plan on having fans in the stands at AT&T Stadium this fall? Dude, he goes, he plays scientist here. He plays architect here. This is hilarious to hear how smart Jerry Jones thinks he sounds when he's talking about why he plans on having fans in the stands this year.
For instance, in my case, I'm reminded that when we opened that stadium, that it was pointed out that if you didn't open the doors at the right time and had the roof open in a certain way, that you had an air current through there that is pretty impressive, if you will, a serious, serious air current. Well, actually, it turns out that our stadium, who has one of the largest capacities in the world, our stadium that has over 3 million square feet and can air condition all of it. Our stadium also has quite a naturally built airflow that can be very positive relative to protecting and be safe for our fans. Now, that's not all of it, but when we finish showing our fans what and how and what we can do to make it safe to come to the ball games, I'm really proud that we've got that stadium to work with. But we've got some adjustments to make. We're going to make them with enthusiasm, and we're going to make them with can do. The Dallas Cowboys plan on playing all of our football games, and we plan on playing them in front of our fans.
So there you go, Jerry Jones. Cowboys do plan on playing games in front of fans at AT&T Stadium because of the air current and the air conditioning and whatever the hell else he was talking about.
It's all ball bearings these days.
That's awesome.
BK.
Explain that.
Fletch reference?
Ooh.
Both y'all?
Not me. I didn't get it.
Well, I'm not playing to y'all two. So I know there's plenty of people.
I'm sure a bunch of people
there.
Out
Please
there.
Please text me 337-3776 so I don't feel like I'm alone.
I wanted to feel Chase? Bad about this.
Chevy Chase Fletch?
I mean, I know the movie. I just didn't get the reference.
Okay. So it's all ball bearings these days whenever he's acting like he's working on the plane.
Okay. All right. No, I apologize. My bad.
Fletcher, the infielder for the Angels?
He's got that same type of juice. I like Fletcher, man. Oh, you don't sneak a fastball inside on that guy. Gets a bad head out. A lot like Fletch.
Wow.
Yeah, great ball player.
Way to bring it full circle.
Chevy Chase, great player.
All right, guys, we're going to talk some college football up next because one of my favorites, 247. We got a lot of friends from there. They had an article. I wanted to get to this last couple days, so we're going to get to it today. The top 50 freshmen for college football this year. And think about some of the guys they had on that list last year and the impact they have. We saw one really early. Derek Stingley, Sam Howell, Keaton Slovis, guys like that. Gregory Uwusu, who looks like he's going to be a top 10 pick after a redshirt year and then 1 year in college. Well, look at the new list and also look at some of the Big 12 guys on that list and how they may impact this COVID season. Up next in One and Done.
Like that five-star recruit at Kentucky, he's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's One and Done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and Done time. We know that with COVID, heck, we had Marquez Bimage, who has decided to go and sit out. Who knows? That may open up a spot for a freshman we talked about earlier, Alfred Collins. So in One and Done today, 24/7, I think they do really good work, and they always have different articles that are out there that you know, at least can kind of get you thinking, and that's what this is about. But they did freshman players who could quickly emerge as top 50 players in the CFB. So they had their own article for the top 50 players in college football, and that was last week. And like I said, there are some guys that ended up on the 2020 top 50 following their freshman season, and that was Derek Stingley, Russo. There are some guys that were pretty damn good players last year, and all of a sudden you're looking at top 10 players a year after and guys that were really big impact players as a freshman. And that's kind of what I wanted to get into. I mean, I guess the first guy, and we'll just stick with the Big 12 here, guys, the first guy who we think is going to be a freshman player that's redshirt freshman or true freshman or not that could have a huge impact on the Big 12. I mean, that's pretty obvious when we go to Norman, right?
The quarterback?
No, I was talking about they've got a long snapper who's coming in, and I think he's going to be big. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Spencer Rattler, right? I mean, Spencer Rattler, it's not going to shock anyone, or at least it shouldn't, if he's in New York, even if they have that this year. I don't know if they will for the Heisman.
Oh, I didn't think about that. What's going to happen to the Heisman?
I've thought about it.
And are they going to do the ceremony?
I have no idea.
It's all going to be on Zoom. It's all going to be a virtual ceremony for the Heisman this year.
It's good for Sam.
We're still going to have the OU guy. Who's the OU player? And he's a Hall of Famer. I can't believe his name.
Oh, yeah, is it Billy Sims?
Billy Sims. Yes, who's one of all-time great running backs, but he's turned into Boomer guy for me, so I forget it's Billy Sims.
It's Marlins man and Boomer guy, the two guys that everybody hates. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I mean, you look at the Heisman odds in Vegas, and I haven't looked at them since the Big Ten and the Pac-12 made their announcements earlier this week, but I do know Justin Fields was the co-favorite to win the Heisman Trophy this year, along with Trevor Lawrence. Now we don't have Justin Fields, and there are some other Heisman candidates in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, so I'm sure Rattler's odds have improved even since earlier this week, but he already was like a top-five guy in the country to win the Heisman this year. It's the Lincoln Riley effect, man. And that guy was an incredibly highly touted recruit. You pair him with Lincoln Riley. He was already in the system last year. He could be, and I don't know if he is, but he could be number one on this entire list, KD, and I wouldn't complain.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with you about Lincoln Riley. It's mostly Lincoln Riley. I don't know much, if anything, about Spencer Rattler other than the recruiting rankings that he came in with.
Right.
Didn't watch any of the few snaps that he's already had. I don't need to know much about him other than he was handpicked by Lincoln Riley and that he is being coached by Lincoln Riley, mentored by Lincoln Riley, and playing within a Lincoln Riley offense. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Then I can and I still feel comfortable picking him to be a Heisman potential finalist or a Heisman in the semifinalist list and being one of the best players in the country. Like that's how consistent Lincoln Riley has been. It's crazy.
It's really the last two guys, because Baker didn't feel like a Heisman guy at Tech. He felt like a really damn good quarterback, and he felt like there were just a lot of intangibles. There was actually some major Applewhite with better athleticism and a stronger arm in there with him. But I didn't know if he was going to be a Heisman winner and the number one overall pick. But it's the last two guys for Oklahoma for me, especially when Kyler Murray did not show much. It was not much good. I mean, there was some potential there, but Kevin Sumlin was well respected by the NFL people. So the A&M film did not lead you to think he was going to be 1-1 and win the Heisman and have that type of year. And same thing with Jalen Hurts, guys. Jalen Hurts, I still question whether he's going to be that good or be anywhere near what people think as an NFL quarterback. And you know why I question that? Because of Lincoln Riley and because of what I saw at Alabama. Right?
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, I think Lincoln's so good at scheming stuff up.
He just makes them look
good. He's going to make you fundamentally better, and there are going to be some things that are always going to stick with you, but it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to have that same production and those same wide open guys, especially as you go to the next level.
No, that's a good point. And hopefully Doug Peterson, who's also a quarterback guy, can help him out with that. But you're right. Shano does that too. Kyle Shanahan can with his scheme, he can really improvise a lot of different methods and a different cheat codes around your skill set to highlight your weaknesses. Sorry, highlight your strengths and hide your weaknesses.
Couple other guys on the list. Couple running backs that are really in the Big 12, and they go back to back here. That would be Bijan Robinson.
Bijan
is a guy that we know is a 5-star. We know he's super talented. Are you guys a little surprised, BK? I'll start with you, that he's on this list because maybe of Keyonte Ingram and some of the other guys that Texas has at that position?
I'm not surprised. I mean, this guy was the number one running back recruit in the country, and he definitely was a top 50 recruit in the country, and we're ranking freshman only here, so the fact that he cracks this list isn't a big shock to me. And I think our expectation, I mean, even if Keyonte Ingram and Roschon Johnson have good seasons this year, Bijan's still going to see the field.
Yep.
And early. So, and by all accounts, looking at practice notes from the various insider sites, he's impressing everybody with his maturity, with his work ethic, with his playmaking. We saw the athleticism on full display, a couple of weeks ago, that ridiculous catch he made on a Hudson Card throw that was making the rounds on social media.
Pirouette one-hander.
He can be a weapon in the passing game, too. No, I expect big things from Bijan Robinson, and him making this list is no surprise. He should definitely be on there.
So I expect him to have a big impact for Texas. We'll see how much. The guy in Fort Worth, who's the next guy on the 24/7 list for freshmen that could really have a huge impact this college football season, is a guy that, look, he was bouncing around. We thought he was going to be at LSU, maybe Alabama, and then he ends up at TCU. Zach Evans. We know there's a lot of talent there. And for a Max Duggan offense that, as you've talked about, Rod, they're trying to get back to where they were a couple years ago. Boy, a big-time running back could help out Max a ton, and I expect to see him really get that chance and get a pretty big workload. The question is, maybe not even on the field. Maybe can he stay all good off the field?
Yeah, that's always a challenge, right, for a guy like him who has gone through some different incidents off the field that had kept him even from playing at the high school level. And, of course, his recruitment, one of the wildest recruitments we've ever seen. But he's damn good. He is the real deal. If he can get on the field consistently and, be more responsible citizen off the field, yeah, TCU's got a hell of a running back, and you're right. They bring back that air raid-ish system with a dual-threat quarterback and Max Duggan, and Doug Meacham and Sonny Cumbie. Yeah, the defense is going to be good. That's no question.
Yep.
That's every year.
And they've got the Marcel Brooks, who played last year, so he's not a freshman, but they've got a couple guys coming in, BK, that could really influence their team if everything goes right.
When you talk about early playing time with Bijan Robinson, kind of feels like there's a window for him to get on the field. There's definitely a window for Zach Evans to get on the field, right? I mean, TCU lost its two best running backs from a year ago in Darius Anderson and Shewo Alatalua.
Good job.
Those guys are both out. I mean, you look at Phil Steele's magazine, that's not the end-all, be-all, but he's got Zach Evans as the projected starter for TCU at running back. Like, there's an opportunity Zach Evans, as a true freshman, could start week one for TCU. If that's the case, then he's got a real good chance to make an impact for that team.
So definitely some other guys, Justin, who aren't on the list, at least not on the list that I saw. Justin Flo from Oregon, who's one of the top linebackers, could come in and really help out that defense. Clemson has actually three defensive linemen that could all come in and really help out. Keely Ringo.
They got three more, Clemson does?
Yeah, three out of the top four, if you look at
God.
Some of the recruiting sites.
It's just every year with those dudes.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Right. They got three first-round defensive linemen every year in the draft.
All the time.
And right, and when you get a first-rounder, then the next group comes, which has been a problem here.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay, yeah. I kind of forgot about that, being a Texas fan for the last 10
years.
That's
how you keep the well going. Hey, we kept the well going a lot longer than maybe the results probably should have showed. Hopefully that'll change for UT. Speaking of UT, Keely Ringo was with the top cornerback out of Arizona or New Mexico.
Arizona.
And he ended up going to Georgia. Guys, Georgia's going to be right up there. Elias Ricks, who's going to try to be the Derek Stingley, the true freshman corner for LSU. Those are two SEC cornerbacks, Rod, that are going to be competing for a national championship.
Yeah, I've seen Ringo. I forgot. Somebody sent me some of his film.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive, man. He's long, rangy, and athletic. I don't doubt that guy will end up being an NFL player. He's got a Sunday skill set. If they're projecting anybody to be as good as Derek Stingley, then, or as good as early as Derek Stingley was, then... Oh, I mean, I can't even imagine that. That guy's right now, people are saying that he's already considered to be the top corner in college football.
He'd be a top freshman five pick, year. And he may have been this last year.
He might have been the best corner in college football last year as a freshman. How did that happen?
It's so hard to fathom anybody ever doing that ever again, let alone something like that happening in back-to-back years. Those guys are both supremely talented, but, man, I think Derek Stingley's like a once-in-a-generation type of college football talent.
Rod and I are older than you, and we had never seen a true freshman corner do that. Sean Springs, to me, was close.
I got to go see if Champ Bailey started.
Champ was right there. You're right, yeah.
And I got to go look at Dion's story, but you're right. Those are generational. Generational.
You'll take Hall of Fame in the NFL. A couple other guys, Bryce Young at Alabama. Guys, if Mac Jones doesn't work out, I've heard good things from Alabama people about Bryce Young and what they're already seeing right now, and he's one of those dynamic quarterbacks. We've seen Saban pull the plug even in the second half of the national championship game.
I was going to say, this could be one of those years, right?
Right.
Jalen Hurts and Tua type situation where Mac Jones is going to be really good, or at least good enough to lead Alabama to the playoff. But, man, I think his leash in a big game will be relatively short if Bryce Young is as good as a lot of people expect him to be.
Yeah, it is. So there are some guys, and look, the way college football's turned now, and I gave you the list earlier of freshman guys from last year, they're all of a sudden on their top 50 list for total college football players this year as sophomores. Stingley, Russo, Sam Howell, Kyle Hamilton, Keaton Slovis, some really damn good players. But they can make that impact freshman year. I mean, God knows what the LSU defense, when they were having problems, what they would have looked like if Derek Stingley's not there. Stingley quickly became their best corner.
He solidified that back
he
end
did.
Because early on, a lot of those guys struggled.
Delpit included.
Delpit struggled early on, too. And the corner opposite Stingley, whose name escapes me at the current moment, who got drafted into the league.
Fulton?
Yes, thank you very much, Christian Fulton. They struggled early on, as we know, here in Texas, because we went after them.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember that during the Texas game, but it was early on because, you know, we had some Cajuns on. Love them. Josh Booty and the whole crew.
Josh Booty.
We had them on all week, on all the shows, all over the station, and they were selling us a bill of goods that this was going to be a national championship team, and it was going to be one of the best all-time teams, and that Joe Burrow,
they did,
with the new system, had been working with these receivers, and it was going to be Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and John Taylor. And, we have this freshman corner, Derek Stingley, who's going to be Deion Sanders-like and also be a great punt returner. Got to give them credit. They nailed pretty much all of it.
They did. We were like, one of those if you're lucky.
Give me one of those,
if
right?
You're lucky. Like, no, they got four or five of those. Oh,
we've heard them say that every
That's
year for the
problem,
last 20.
Right. Exactly.
I guess eventually they had to be right?
I guess so.
Good stuff. The top 50 freshmen in college football entering 2020. Any
Big 12 guys that I missed that you guys can think of?
Man, I'm trying to think of Texas guys. I mean, you brought it up at the start of the segment with the
Collins image
news. Maybe Alfred Collins could be one of those big-time impact players early on because his PT just went up significantly.
That's true.
So, good stuff. I like that. It's my guy, man.
Oh, how about Troy O'Meary? We'll see.
Oh, man.
Troy O'Meary, 2-1, baby.
2-1.
There's football pants going to be longer than...
Right. Hey, the ladies like them like that, man.
There you go.
Picture's like going viral.
I'm telling you. It ain't just like Texas fans who are seeing that.
Or ladies loving that.
I hope it's the ladies that love it. I don't know. Maybe everybody loves it. I guess Longhorn football fans are like, oh, he looks like Megatron. And I'm like, oh, God. Everybody's salivating over the picture for different reasons.
That's where that number comes in. You see long legs in 21. He's Calvin Johnson. Whoa.
But apparently he's Debo and them DBs out there, though.
But they
hadn't put any pads on yet.
Right.
So that's slow
down. A little bit of a difference. Yep. It's the Triple Option with RBKD, Kevin Dillon, Rod Babers, BK with y'all on a Thursday. Gentlemen, remember the first ever episode of the Chappelle's Show? It had a character in a skit. The character's name was Clayton Bigsby. Mm. He was a black white supremacist. Well, it was a skit. It was a bit. It was hilarious. We thought it was fake, but there might be a real life Clayton Bigsby out there. We'll get to the story up next.
D.D. Megadoodoo, I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain band comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Off the Record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I'm BK Brad Kellner. Rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock on a Thursday. We appreciate y'all spending some of your Thursday afternoon with us. At the top of the hour, we'll get back into some Texas Longhorn football news, notes, and nuggets, including a Longhorn opting out of the 2020 season. What does it mean for Texas this year? Also, some notes about the Texas offense, some position battles shaping up the first week of practice down on the 40. But gentlemen, our off-the-record story, we've got two pieces of audio to play. The first one comes from the Chappelle Show, which aired from 2003 to 2006. Only three seasons, but it was three seasons of brilliance, magnificence, and any other sense you could possibly think of. Some of the best comedy you'll ever find. Dave Chappelle, one of my favorite comedians of all time. I feel like you guys are in the same boat there as well.
Yes.
The first ever episode of the Chappelle Show, I mean, it still blows my mind that this show was allowed to happen at all. I mean, I'm glad it is. And obviously society has changed a ton over the years, and even in the last 15 years, society has changed a ton in terms of what people find funny. And in terms of what is acceptable, or at least acceptable enough socially to where it can actually happen without somebody or something getting canceled.
You could always not watch it.
You could always not watch it, but that's not what people do nowadays.
Too easy of an option?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the first ever episode of the Chappelle Show, gentlemen, one of the skits was about a black white supremacist played by Dave Chappelle. The character's name was Clayton Bigsby. And it's about like a 10-minute long skit. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Unless your propensity of being offended is very low. But it's ridiculous, man. And we cut up some audio, just a little bit of that, kind of to give a background of this news story, this real life news story that we have to go along with it. So here's part of the first ever episode of The Chappelle Show.
Despite his popularity, very few have ever seen him due to his his reclusiveness. But in an effort to bring his message to a wider audience, he agreed to give his first public interview ever to Frontline. But getting to Mr. Bigsby was an odyssey in itself, riddled with backcountry hollers, shifty go-betweens, and palpable danger.
Excuse me. Not sure we're in the right place. We're looking for Clayton Bigsby.
Well, look no further, fella. You found me.
Clayton Bigsby, the author?
What, you don't think I can write them books? Just because I'm blind don't mean I'm dumb.
How could this have happened? A black white supremacist.
So that's the introduction. And yeah, Clayton Bigsby, the character, is incredibly racist. But he's blind. He doesn't realize.
He's a
blind black white supremacist.
He divorces his wife because she married him and she's white and she loves black people.
Yes.
So that's why he divorced
her. That's kind of how the skit
ends. Once someone told him. Yeah.
And he didn't put it that way, which
Yes,
for
I don't want to get
fired.
A few
times you'll hear that, yeah. And it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. So that's a crazy concept, right? A black white supremacist. Well, I don't know if the character from this real life story, I guess I can just call him a person, right? Those are usually
Dalton
what we call
Sims what is we call his name, him. I believe.
Dalton Sims.
Dalton Sims from Alabama.
The Dalton's
from
Dalton
Alabama.
Sims from Alabama.
He is a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans.
Yes.
And there is an argument right now, a big debate in the city of Albertsville, Alabama, near the Huntsville, Alabama area. If that does anything for anybody, it doesn't for me, but
hold
that's
on.
What the story
okay,
said.
It.
So there you go. Wonder if they have a big Sam Houston statue in that Huntsville like they do here. Probably not. This is part of a news story. Okay, so there's a debate in Albertsville. There's some Confederate monuments outside of City Hall in that small town in Alabama. Yep. And there are, you know, people on both sides kind of protesting and fighting their case and trying to stake their claim on whether or not the monument should be there, right? People are trying to get them removed while some people are trying to get them to stay. So here's a little bit of a news story from the local TV station out there, and you will hear from Daniel Sims, who is a black man, also a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Here we go.
Unique Dunstan's unique organization wants the statues to be relocated to either the Albertville Museum or a nearby cemetery where other Confederate veterans have been laid to rest.
As ugly and hateful the Confederacy was, it is our history. So I think it is a compromise that we're willing to make to relocate it to somewhere that doesn't stand for justice as our courthouses do.
But Say Their Names Alabama has some opposition from about two dozen members and supporters of the Sons of Confederate Veterans.
Regardless how the next person feel, I'm not gonna take my flag down. If I got anything to do with it, ain't no monument gonna come down.
Daniel Sims says he was adopted as a child.
My whole family's white. Went to all white school, grew up in all white neighborhood. My grandfather was white, and he was the main one that fought in this war here, and he's taught me everything I know.
He explains how he'd feel if the statues and flag were relocated.
It may make my blood boil if they just come up here and feel like they could just tear it down. I don't see me still living if they do that right there. That monument ain't hurting nobody. That monument ain't killing a soul. It ain't talking bad to nobody. It ain't even racist.
But Dunstan says she's confident her group will be successful in getting the flag and monuments removed.
So there's
That's fantastic, guys.
Yeah.
Man.
Good find, Rod.
Obviously, we don't have the video here, but he is wearing
video's great.
A Confederate flag shirt and a Confederate flag hat.
And he's like carrying a Confederate flag.
And he's carrying a Confederate flag.
And he was,
as a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. I mean, it is a real-life Clayton Bigsby situation.
And he's genuine with this.
Oh, no, he is. He's
no, this is not a bit. Like,
it's
this
not
is
a bit.
This is his belief.
It's a real-life news story. And
he said he'll die if they
move
the Confederate monument.
I'm not going to rip on him as much as some people will, because look, he was born into that. And so it almost you have to look at it like, okay, this is like his family. I think it's ridiculous. But when he said he's going to die over this, or when he was saying the statue,
yeah,
I mean, that's straight comedy.
He also said that his grandfather fought in the Civil War.
Yeah, his grandfather was white. He said his grandfather was white.
Because he was adopted by a white family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So his grandfather was white, but his grandfather couldn't have fought in the Civil War. That was...
How old is his grandpa?
At the timeline, didn't match up.
This guy...
Maybe a great-great-grandfather.
Yeah, this guy is
that's
not like 95
think.
Years old who's giving this interview here.
But they had like 12-year-olds fighting in the Civil War, so...
Yeah, but still. I mean,
it's still, I know.
But it wasn't your grandfather.
I was going through that.
But you're right. But if anything, it shows this, that, and you're right, KD, is that, you know, racism, whatever it is, all those things are taught. You just learn
that's
those
what
things.
I took out
this
of this.
This is a black man that lives in Alabama,
exactly.
Takes pride in the Confederacy, takes pride in the South and the Confederate flag. Some people are like, oh, that's crazy, and that's why Clayton Bixby started trending. But the truth is, it does show us that it's nature versus nurture.
Yes.
Racism is alive because of us, because we keep passing it down, just like we keep passing around this freaking virus. The virus doesn't freaking move. Racism doesn't move. We move it. Racism, it does. It doesn't teach itself. It doesn't evolve. No, we just carry it on and teach it to our
we're not born
our young
with
people.
It.
Yeah, we're not born with
it's
it.
It's a learned behavior.
All that is. And that's what that's what I learned from that news story.
That's what I took out of it.
Yeah.
And you could say also, like COVID, that it can also be pushed in maybe exacerbated by the media. right?
Well, everything can be.
Yeah, oh, I know. But I'm sorry. Rod, this was a fantastic find. This was the find of the month on this show.
Oh, man.
Well done, sir.
It's funny. You guys
go watch the video.
Yeah, I'll try to tweet that out later. Yeah. We'll tweet that out later.
The video and then the Chappelle Show skit as well. I don't think you'll regret it too much. All right, it's the Triple Option with RBKD. There is Off the Record. Let's get back into some sports. We'll continue to break down the Big 12's announcement from yesterday that the conference intends on playing a fall college football season in 2020. Plus, a potential starter on the Texas defense is opting out of the 2020 season. We'll give you the details up next.